Belinda presents this unabridged recording of The Faceless Man, Lennox and Wilde, Book 2, written by Helen H. Durrant and read by John Vose. Prologue. The warning was clear enough. It was just a pity Dean had chosen to ignore it. He was young, intelligent, and had a promising future. But the interference had to stop. He was getting too close. Bottom line, Dean was a danger to his enterprise, and he had to go. The arranged meeting place was the kids' playground in the park. At night, apart from the lights by the entrance, the place was pitch black, deserted. Besides the drumming rain, the only other sound was the swings squeaking in the strengthening breeze, their dark shapes adding to the eerie atmosphere. The man shivered and turned up his collar. It was a miserable night. Shame about Dean. This wasn't how he wanted it to be, but the lad had sealed his own fate by refusing to keep out of his business. The man smiled to himself. Dean had wrongly imagined that approaching from behind gave him the advantage of surprise. He had failed to realize that the man couldn't have survived in this business by being sloppy. "Why here?" Dean asked. "There's a pub across the road, drier and more comfortable." "Too busy. I don't want to be seen with you, so this place is better." A candid reply, but the lad didn't pick up on its significance. Neither did he remark on how the man was dressed, in motorbike leathers, tight-fitting gloves, and with a rucksack on his back. "Let's walk." "This isn't going to be a job offer, is it? Only there's no way I could work with you." The man laughed. Now, where had the lad got that idea from? "Not what I have in mind at all." "Where are we going?" "Nowhere in particular. A wander round, have a chat and get some exercise. I've not been to this place in a while. Is the boating lake still here?" "Yeah, but I don't like water," Dean admitted. "Never learned to swim, see?" The man knew that too. They stood silently at the lake's edge, looking out over the watery expanse, listening to the boats knocking against each other and the click of the masts. After some time, the man broke the silence. "You've stuck your nose into my business once too often, Dean. It can't continue. You do know that, don't you?" The lad stepped back from the water, lapping at his trainers. "I know the truth, what you are, what you do. I should go to the police again, try and speak to them." "You know I can't allow that." "You can't stop me," Dean scoffed. The man laughed. Dean wasn't seeing the bigger picture. "Do you have any evidence of what I do?" "You don't, do you?" Though he had no idea what real information the lad had on him or how long he'd been keeping tabs on his activities. "I might have," Dean said. "Sort you out good and proper, that would. Make the job easier for the police, too." He tapped his head. "In any case, I've no intention of telling you what I've got, but know this. I hold all the aces.